3 o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Personal Hearts Ministries, Personal Hearts Radio. I am so excited that you are tuning in today or you're archiving the show. Today is Friday, September 18th, and we air 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I will let you know if I'm unable to air at my scheduled time due to work or other circumstances, but I will definitely, definitely get back to you, and we will broadcast our show always, 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 always until Jesus Christ comes. I just want to let you know that that Personal Hearts Ministries is we're a nonprofit organization. We are a 501c3. Your donations are tax deductible, and also we give to the poor and to the needy. We minister while ministering the Word of God. So we do give to the poor, we do give to the needy. That is the heart of this ministry. I love the poor. Jesus loves the poor. I love ministering the Word of God. And that's our assignment. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So that's what we do. That's the majority of what we do. If you like to donate, you can do so online at personalhearts.org. We love you, and we preach the gospel around the world as Jesus commanded us. And also, when you donate online, you donate it's through a secure website via PayPal. So we really appreciate that. I have to say that just for legal purposes, just in case someone would like to donate and they wanted to know how they could do so. So thank you so much. That money that you do donate goes to send the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world and help and feed the poor and needy. So now that we got all the legal stuff out of the way, let's get right into our show. We are going to start with a song by Carrie Job, and it's called I Am Not Alone. Can I just tell you guys one thing? I really, really love you. I'm so happy that you're taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to what the Word of the Lord has to say through me. Praise God, and may we praise His name forever and ever, for Jesus will be glorified. So, without further ado, let's listen to some worship music, and we'll get back to the show.
Thank you.
11 disciples looking upon him, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And thank God for his Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, given to all believers that confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that believe that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for our sins, and our sins are washed away with his blood, believing that he rose the third day, and that he ever maketh intercession for us. Glory to God. That's a whole entire message right there. Praise God. But I am really happy. I'm really excited to be in my assignment. I'm excited what the Word of God is going to be speaking to you today. We have 20 minutes left in the show, and it's only 30 minutes until we begin to have more listeners and expand. So let's get right into what God has asked me to preach about. I love and enjoy reading the Holy Bible because the Bible is the Word of God. In addition, it is the only book, and other books that are written by men who are inspired by God, where we can really and truly change. Some people may be saying, Aaliyah, I'm on alcohol and I need to get rid of this. You can talk to your friends and they can help you, but Jesus Christ is the only one that makes a real internal change because he changes us from the inside out. That's where these habits form in your soul. So when Jesus changes you, he changes you from the inside out. He does a complete change, not a partial change. So why I said that is for somebody out there. But praise the Lord. Receive that in the name of Jesus. We're going to be talking about the book of Esther. I know we've been studying in the book of John, but God has directed me to study in the book of Esther. Most of you, or some of you, may know about the book of Esther, and you may know that it is a romantic book. It is a book about a young woman who was chosen among many by King Ahasuerus, and she was chosen as queen instead of Vashti. And a movie was produced by the son of the late Paul Crouch, for TBN, and he made a Book of Esther. But most people don't realize there's also a second book in the Book of Esther, and that second part is what we're going to be discussing. In the Book of Esther, Esther pleads for her life and her people when Haman, who was the right-hand man for King Ahasuerus, this is when Esther was queen, he wanted for a lot or for a sum of money to kill all of the Jewish people in the 127 provinces during that time when Esther was queen. So Esther threw two banquets for the king, and at the last banquet she said, you know, I plead for my life. I would like for me and my people to live that this evil Haman has determined to kill us, the enemy of all the Jews. And so the king has hanged Haman on the gallows that he was going to hang Esther's uncle, which is her adopted father, Mordecai. And so Haman is killed. Now, this is where we start to get into the second part of the Book of Esther. The second part of the Book of Esther is actually the redemption of the Jews. I love the Jewish people. Jesus was a Jewish man. Christianity is birthed from the Jewish heritage. And the second part of Esther talks about the redemption of the Jews and is actually the birth of the Feast of Purim. Now, Pur, P-U-R, is for Lot. That's because Haman, who is the enemy of all the Jews, sought a lot or a sum of money to slay all the Jews in the 127 provinces of King Ahasuerus, which was Queen Esther's husband. And so Pur is Lot. And so when another after... Because Haman wrote into the laws that he said all the Jews should be killed, so it was signed by the king's ring. When Haman was hanged, Queen Esther sought by the king's ring, his ring and his signature, to reverse what Haman had put in the book. So she reversed it, and she said, on a certain day we will slay all of the Jews' enemy. We're looking at the Jews' enemy until this day. We're looking at when way, way back before either you or I of us were born in the Old Testament, when there was two births. There was Isaac, and that was the son of promise. And there was another birth. He was the son of not of promise. And so now we're seeing the two children, the two brothers fighting against one another. The son of promise, which was Isaac, is the chosen, is the son of promise. The other son, who was not the son of promise, is the one that is going against the son of promise, and they have this conflict of war. And so here we see in the second book of Esther, when Haman had wrote into the law, said, hey, I'm going to kill all the Jews, and you have to obey, and this is the law, Esther reversed that by the king's ring and his signature and said, we're going to slay all of the Jews' enemy. And so they chose a month on a certain day that they would kill all of the Jews' enemy. And the king said, hey, the Jewish people, I want you to stand guard. I want you to stand up and be prepared to fight for your lives. And so they did. There was one day that they killed 500 people, and then the very next day, which was the 13th day, the month of Adar, which is the 12th month in the Jewish calendar, and on the 14th day, they killed 75,000 people. The first day, 500 people, that's in Shushan, that was in the king's palace. The next day, the 15th, the month of Adar, on the Jewish calendar, they killed 75,000 people. And this is going to be the basis of what we're going to talk about today. Because my Jewish friends who are listening, and anyone who is listening, I want you to know that your king and your redeemer is Jesus Christ. And he always, always has a way out for you. He is your hero. I hear people say, you're my hero. You know, I'm talking about a man. I cannot personally, cannot say that any man is my hero, because I know who was the real hero working through that person. Yes, you want to give people the honor that is due them, but I know truly who is this awesome God, and his name is Jesus Christ. I am in love with Jesus Christ, and I give him all the honor and glory because, friends and saints, this world, people are fighting to get a house. They're fighting to get a car. You're fighting to get things you can't even keep. You cannot keep anything on this world. The only thing that you're going to keep are the souls that you win for Christ. They're going to be meeting you when you get into heaven. So, saints, let's fight for the true treasure. And that treasure that a man sold everything, in the Bible it says he sold everything that he owned to find this treasure, that's the kingdom of God. This world is a dirty world. Things that are going on, you would not want to know about. You would faint because of the horror. But God, by his Holy Ghost, is protecting us. He's shielding us. He provides for us. And so getting back to the book of Esther, I'll read starting from Esther in verse 9, starting at 9:20. And this is when the Feast of Purim is instituted. So if you want to know more information about the Feast of Purim so you could be educated and know about these things, you can start in Esther chapter 9. There's only two chapters to read. 9 and chapter 10 is only 3 verses. So chapter 9 has 32 verses and chapter 10 has 10. So this will discuss the Feast of Purim. And it's during the 12th month of Adar, the 13th and the 14th day. It is still recognized until this day. So let's start with 9, verse 20. And Mordecai, now Mordecai was Esther's uncle and adopted dad. The Bible says to call no man father upon the earth, but that which is your heavenly father, which is in heaven. I believe that. A lot of people don't. I call my dad, I call my father in heaven, father. He's the only one that I call father because that's what the Bible says. So that's my little personal snippet on that. Let's start again at 9:20, shall we? And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far. I prefer the King James Bible, so you may notice some slight wording that are different from your Bible. And again, I'm starting after the Jews had killed or slain their enemies. On the first day, 500. On the second day, 75,000. Verse 21. To establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar, and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day. Isn't that beautiful? From sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day. It's okay to say that you're having a good day. It's okay to say, I'm having a good day. It's perfectly fine to say, I'm having a good day. Again, starting at verse 22, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another and gifts to the poor. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, as Mordecai had written unto them. Because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast Pur, P-U-R, or Lot, that is the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore they called these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter, and of that which they had seen concerning this matter, and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them, and upon their seed, and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so on as it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days, the 13th and the 14th, according to their writing, and according to their appointed time every year, and that these should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. Then Esther, the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai, the Jew, wrote with all authority to confirm this second letter of Purim. And he sent the letters unto all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus with words of peace and truth to confirm these days of Purim in their times appointed, according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, and as they had decreed for themselves and for their seed the matters of the fasting and their cry. And the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. I've just read unto you the second half of chapter 9. Again, chapter 10 is just 3 verses long. You could read that on your own because we have just a little bit time left in the broadcast. But I want you to be encouraged. I want you to read, reread. You can read the entire book of Esther if you like. But for this broadcast, we're focusing on the second half, and that second half was redemption of the Jewish people, redemption from their enemies. So I just want to say to you, again, I'm going to reread verse 9, verse 25. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews at Haman, should return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Do we wish for evil to come upon someone? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. What does the word of God say? He says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So do you always have to get back in someone if they have cut you off on the freeway? No. Do you always have to treat someone bad if they talk bad to you? No. It's not about getting back or getting even. It's about showing the love of Christ. That is if you desire to show the love of Christ. That is if you want to show the love of Christ. That is if you want your life to be an example of Christ-like behavior. Now, vengeance is a word that we don't hear very often, but, you know, indirectly, we all know what it means, but I like to give you the definition of vengeance. Vengeance is the act of doing something to hurt someone because that person did something that hurt you or someone else. I will read that again. Vengeance is the act, so it is actually an act. It's not a thought, it's not a word, it's an act. It's a verb. Vengeance is a noun, but act is a verb because you're doing something, you're moving. The act of doing something to hurt someone because that person did something that hurt you or someone else. Isn't it easy to fall in the flesh? I mean, isn't it just, and you know what? You feel good. You feel good, like, oh, man, I. But then afterwards, the Holy Spirit, if you're born again, it's going to convict you because it shouldn't feel good. It shouldn't feel good to hurt somebody. It shouldn't feel good to do that. It should not feel good. If it feels good to you to hurt someone, then something's not right. I know that's painful to say, but if it feels good for you to hurt someone, something's not right. As true Christians of the Lord, it should not feel good to hurt someone. It should absolutely not feel good to hurt someone. So I said all this to say this. We will continue in the book of John, but God had me to talk about the book of Esther because he wanted to let you know that you are not alone. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to be in this world alone. You don't have to raise your son alone. You have a helper, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And in these times, it is drawing to a close. There is absolutely no more time left. The rapture of the church is nigh. We at Personal Hearts Ministries, we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. A rapture will happen where Christ is taking away his bride. A lot of you read the New International Version of the Bible. I would have you look and research the changes from the NIV to the KJV and other translations to see that they have changed certain wording. So a lot of people see the rapture as the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is actually the day of tribulation. So those words were changed from the original King James to the NIV. So people think the day of the Lord is actually the catching away of the church, which is the rapture, and it isn't. So that's why there's a lot of this confusion about pre-tribulation and post-tribulation, when actually it's just words that have been changed. The day of the Lord, yes, that is the day of the Lord. That is the day of wrath, but that does not is not the same as the rapture of the church. So that's just some homework for you to do on your own time. It is extremely important that we as Christians are knowledgeable, not only knowledgeable in what to do and how to live in this world, but we have to be knowledgeable about the Bible because we have to defend our faith. And you know what? Just like the world, we have to know what we're talking about. So I advise this, and this is what God tells me. He doesn't tell me often, thank the Lord, because I do what he says, but he has told me, before you say anything, make sure you know what you're talking about. To me, for me, as a student of the Word, and also as a collegiate, as a scholar, that means I better know. That means I better research. I better know what I'm talking about, or I'm not going to say anything. And so I say that to you, husbands and wives. If you and a husband and a wife, this applies to someone because it just came up in my spirit. Husband and wife, you're arguing about something. I know you looked at her. I saw you. Did you? Or was he looking at a sign at a restaurant? You know, people get divorced. They want to leave their husbands. They want to leave their wives for the trivialest of reasons. And you know what? After they do leave their wife or their husband and they find out that they had something really real with their wives or their husbands when they were married. Now, I'm not talking about if you were in an abuse situation, but I'm talking about being real with yourself, being real with your life. You find out that you made a mistake, but your mistakes don't have to be permanent. Have them turned around by the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Repent. Repent of your sins. Repent of anything that you've done wrong. And ask God to turn the situation around in your favor. Don't seek to hurt anyone. Don't be dishonest. Repent, and God will reverse the situation in your favor. You are amazingly beautiful. I thank God for you. I thank you for listening to the broadcast. Thank you guys for archiving my show. When I first started, I said, Lord, who's going to listen to me? But praise God, there is a message. And I was ordained by God first to do this, and this is what he told me to do. So I bless you in the name of Jesus. You are beautiful, and have a wonderful week. Happy Friday. I look forward to tuning in with you again. Our next show is going to be, this is the 18th, so our next show is every other week, and that will be the 2nd, October 2nd. Welcome, October, and happy fall. Have a great weekend, everybody. I love you, and I'll see you soon.
Lord, I'm ready now. I'm waiting for your trial. My peace and joy.